Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
The one who is above, far beyond, in any realm of measurement, you are above all the gods. We bless your name tonight. Do you belong all glory? Do you belong all power? Do you belong all majesty? For thou art worthy, O God. We acknowledge you this day. We say you are Lord. We declare that you are Lord. You are Lord over this place. You are Lord over the nations. You are Lord over the earth. You are Lord that rules in the heavens. And your counsel is eternal. Lord, we've come today to align with that eternal counsel. That these things will be brought forth to us. And understanding will be given to us. As it was given to Daniel. That we'll understand times. We'll understand seasons. We'll understand the workings and the dynamics of the Spirit that will not run foul of what you have in mind for us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, church. Please, can we have a seat? I greet mommy. You're welcome. I greet pastor. Okay, Pastor Danson, Pastor Keith Shusi, Pastor Jayola, Pastor Ogi, praise God, all the deacons in the house and every other person you are greeted in Jesus' name. Tonight, I would like to continue from where I stopped last week. And my approach in this teaching is to look at the present system, or the system that has brought us here, the historical perspective that brought us here, and where we're here and where we are going. Praise God. You need to understand what the system is about and how the system works. Praise God. Because if we don't look at it, any teaching about the riches of the kingdom will be done in isolation of the realities you and I face. And you will not be able to grasp the challenges and enormous work at our disposal, as it were. Amen. While I was doing my study, I realized that there's so much to say. And I don't know how many of us studied economics when we were in secondary school. Any person that studied economics, or you did economics, you did economics, you did economics. You are just not in your head. That does not... I don't know whether you're affirming or you're disagreeing with me. Praise God. Because basically you and I will, once as I go further into this study, I'll be dealing with a lot of economics and finance. Amen. I mean, I know many of you have said, I have this great idea, but I don't have the money to run it. I hope I'm talking to somebody. Amen. Now, it's the reason why you don't have the money that you don't understand how the system works. There's a way this world was crafted. There's a way it is designed to run. And if you don't know how it is designed to run, you will not know what to do about the system. I've listened to many people say, as part of many of us have, when we talk, we are angry with Jagaban. That is rich. Hallelujah. He's richer than Nigeria. He's richer than... Somebody was complaining today, why can't Jagaban pay off the money of ASUU and everybody's okay? Yeah, he's that wealthy, he can pay it off. But you don't know why he won't pay it off. Because you don't understand how these things work. Amen. And when you understand how these things work, you will know why this world has no hope. There's no hope for this present system. But we'll get there by God's grace. Hey, praise God. Now, let me just... I've told us that there's a prince, and I was reading somewhere, they said actually that there is a difference between Lucifer and Satan. Have you come across that before? that they are not the same. You can argue that. Praise God. And we paint Lucifer as a two-horned, ugly, black. And in the way it's black, that is bad. I remember seeing a white bad person. The black person that is always bad. But you'll be shocked if you have a, if you cross, come across him, you may find that he's in suit. Suit guy. Handsome. Good to behold. Praise God. And you wonder why God to have a problem with that kind of guy. Amen. Because we don't know him. But I'm not going to talk about, I'm going to just talk a little about demonology. But basically what I'm trying to say is that there's this system that is run by fallen angels. This system is not run by God. That's just what I want to say. But let me just build my thoughts and God will help us in Jesus' name. I've spoken to you about Ezekiel 28. I spoke about him, the covering cherub, the light bearer, and how he fell. And the reason why they said he fell was because of the multitude of his merchandise, his trafficking. He created a system. Please don't forget what I'm saying. We are dealing with a system. A system. And that's why we as believers must understand why it is difficult for Nigeria to become anything. We can't be, because the system is rigged. Are you with me? No matter how good intentioned you are, you can't do well, because the system is designed to fail. Are you with me? And I can't go into all that, but that's the way it is. And if you look at the whole world, you'll be shocked to think that America is a Christian nation. And America has never been a Christian nation. Never in their history. Praise God. Of course, I don't have time to go into all that, but I'll get there some time. So there is nowhere in the whole world that you think that, oh, these people love God. No nation as a nation has ever aligned and said we are doing God's will. They have all in a way. Remember in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. There was a tree of life, and there was another tree called the tree of good and evil. Am I correct? Knowledge of... Thank you very much. I knew it was not right. That's why I asked you, was it correct? Was it sound right? Praise God. It's knowledge of good and evil. However, you may say, I don't know whether you've heard before, somebody will say that I am white witch. Are you with me? Another one is black witch. And they say white witch is better than black witch. It's the same tree. Praise God. And the same wickedness. And the same judgment. Praise God. So that's why you find out that if you look at the any system that man designed, is not designed by the Holy Ghost. Having said that, please remember in the story of I told us that what drives the system, one of the things that drives the system that we are in is called demand and supply. Create scarcity somewhere and create abundance somewhere and things will flow. Trade must flow. Praise God. And that is one thing that, but I will show you the other things that are also important that characterizes this system we are in. Praise God. Now, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, that's Deuteronomy 32:8. Before he did that division, you remember that the earth was with one what? Language. Up to the time of the Tower of Babel, chapter 11 of Genesis. But before chapter 11, welcome, Pastor. Mama, welcome. Before chapter 11, that was chapter 6. There was a man called Noah. Do you remember the man? But before Noah, there was a condition in the earth that was so bad that God repented himself that he created man. You remember the story. And there was so much wickedness. And it gave us the scriptures of the things that happened. But when Jesus was to speak about that time, when he was speaking about the end of the time, he was saying that as it was in those days before the flood. Now, juxtapose what was going on there. Genesis told us that the earth was full of wicked men and wicked women. When Jesus came around, he said they were marrying, giving in marriage, they were buying, they were selling, and everything was going on. That means that in the middle of that wickedness, a lot of transactions were going on. A lot of trade was going on. People were prosperous. Are you with me? That was the condition of the earth. They were prosperous. But there was something about that. They said there were men of renown. There were mighty men in those days. Now, there are different ways to interpret it. But one of it was that they were hunters of men. Nimrod was one of those men. He was a skillful hunter before the Lord. That means he was your... What was that guy? That film. That assassin. He was a John Wick. The ultimate killing machine. That was what Nimrod was. And he was fierce. He was their leader. It is said in history that Nimrod was the one who organized the building. Was it Nimrod? No. Nimrod came after the flood. Praise God. But before that, we're talking people too that were like that were killers. And people were assassins. They were just mean. And from their youth, and don't forget, the lifespan of those people was not 20 years. We are talking about people who were living in wickedness for 500 years. Consistently, they were consistent in wickedness. And they were raising people who were wicked. As their babies being born, wickedness was transferred into them. Now, you see, the way these things work is that spirits can't come from their realm into this world without a gateway. And it takes a man to open a door. We saw the spirit of murder enter the earth through Cain. Praise God. And we began to see that thing multiply. The capacity to build a city without God. To transact without God. So they developed a system that was alien to God. And God looked at these things and shut it down. Praise God. But after Noah had survived the flood, it was recorded again that they began to go astray. They began to open portals again for those demons to return to the earth. Praise God. Which will make you understand why God needed to go and pick Abraham. Because if he responded as he did to the days of Noah, nothing will remain. Are you with me? So he had to extract Noah out of that mess. And so we created two kind of races. The Gentile world and the Abrahamic lineage. Please don't forget that. The Abrahamic lineage had to be taught the ways of the Spirit. While God left the Gentile nations to themselves. And so they perpetuated all kinds of wickedness. Praise God. And that thing continued and continued. But you find that there was the same. There was not much of sophistication in the way they do things. Well, archaeologists are confused about certain things. They said they were primitive. But for goodness sake, can you tell me that if people were primitive for them to build a tower? You know the economy that goes into building the tower. I tried doing ordinary fence wall. It got here and they had to pull it down. Because it was going like this. I think it's ordinary, small skill. No. Something taught those people. There was something that was, they were interfacing ways that was not natural. Amen. And that God himself came down. I said, if I leave them, they will do it too. They will accomplish it. Praise God. And if you have ever done any serious building project before, you know that it's an economy in itself. People who are selling, Abby, People are sending rice will come. People are sending gari will come. Everybody will come. They will build camp. They will do everything. Go to Lekki where this man is building his refinery. He had to build his city to accommodate those who will work there. Building you. Not the people who now start working in refinery as refinery workers. Just to come and build. They have to build them the city. Amen. So economy is going. Booming. So you see, something is very, very important with human existence. It is trade, commerce, buy, you sell, acquire, make profit. It's just human nature, especially the fallen human nature. Praise the Lord. Now, I haven't said this. I'm going to be telling a lot of stories tonight. God is just going to help me. Amen. So, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:8, are you there? This was what I would need to mention this, because when I come back, I may not be able to. I don't know where. Okay. It says, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bonds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. In other words, you'll find that all the, you remember after I confused them, he created different languages. That is enough, God, to show that God exists. Amen. I don't know how many of you went to school to learn your language. Anybody, you went to school to learn your own language. Just started, they had to take you to school, then started knowing Baba, Mama, you know, all the small things. You know, we didn't teach them, they just picked it up. They say, my baby is talking. Hallelujah. Just started picking it up. Language. And by language, God divided the nations of the earth and gave them portions. Praise God. And when he picked the children of Israel, he gave them their own portion. Why was that? Because he wanted to develop an alternate system. You now see why Israel was a disappointment. Because they did not understand the purpose for which they were raised. They were to be an alternate system to what the Gentiles were doing, which would prompt the Gentiles to come and say, your system appears to be superior. Then that will lead them to say, it is Jehovah that we serve that gave us the system. So Moses told them, said, this laws, no nation has it. No nation has this interaction with God. You are the only ones. You are supposed to provoke them. You are supposed to make them come. But rather, you are the one going to them to serve their gods, who are no gods. So you need to understand it from that perspective, why you see the long suffering of God until God exhausted his patience and began to judge them. Praise God. I'll come back to that. We can't afford to make those mistakes. Well, the Bible says these things were written as what? Admonition to us, that we not make the same mistake. Now, there's this curious thing that I came across. Amen. Deuteronomy 4:19. It's worthy of further research. Deuteronomy 4:19 is worthy of further research. God said to them, and he was talking about not worshipping the host of heaven. Said, and lest thou lift up thy eyes unto heaven. And when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven, should be driven to worship them and serve them, with the Lord thy God that divided unto all the nations under what? The heavens. He divided those things for all the nations. Amen. You remember in Genesis at the beginning, these things were put there for what? For days and for what? For seasons. They control the whole operation of the heart system. Time and seasons. Praise God. Am I communicating? In other words, all the nations of the earth were supposed to partake of these blessings of God. You now remember why they were, when, what was, there was Moses that was praying for one of the patriarchs. I think it was Joseph. Was it Moses or no, it was Jacob. Was talking about Joseph being sustained with the what? With the dews of heaven. And the resources of the earth in it. There are resources of heaven, there are resources of the earth. We will come to that. That's part of the system that God has put in place that we as children of God should enjoy. But I just wanted to say this as I move on. Praise God. Now, let me go straight into my, again, let me build up this thing. Proverbs 22 verse 7. This is a consequence of the person that is rich. It says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. The consequence of this system is that it will create people who are rich, it will create the people who are what? Who are poor. Sometimes we fall into the trap of wanting to ask, who made this man poor, and who made this man rich? Praise God. And the truth is that I don't have an answer. But I suspect that the system, like I told us from the beginning, is rigged. That those who don't know will become poor. Because without poor people, you can't have rich people. Praise God. If all of us are wealthy, I will not be able to give you money during election. Do you understand? So therefore, it pays them that they should run us to the ground. You don't understand what's going on. It's deliberate. It's not because Nigeria can't work. It's because if it works, they can't bribe you. I don't know whether you get that. So the pastor, the rich rule over the poor. It is the way the system is designed to work. The rich must rule the poor. And so when the rich becomes rich, they make sure that you never know how to become rich. Why is that? They don't teach you how to become, they don't teach you financial economy or financial matters in school. They don't know what they're doing. Some people sat down and designed that curriculum. It is deliberate so that you and I will remain workers. We will serve. Listen to me. Anyone that is working for somebody else will never be rich. It's impossible. It's not going to be a thief. You can't ever be rich. Never. Oh, I'm a doctor. Hallelujah. How much you earn? Just $100,000 a month. You're a poor man. Because they can sack you tomorrow. Then, you know those fine bankers? Have you seen bankers? Praise God. Except those who are in marketing. Those fine girls. They come down from Cali. You think that this is the end of the world. It's a lie. Everything on them probably is borrowed. On loan. Bank gave them loan. They're paying back. It's a wicked world. I hope I'm making sense to you. That is how this system is rigged. Amen. Now, I want to go into the Bible now, if you don't mind. I've been talking a lot. I want to talk about, listen to me, the system of Satan has not been static. Though we can say that there are certain things that are sacrosanct, but every successive generation that he has been modernizing it, he has been updating it. Are you with me? He has been changing it. It's not static. Satan is going somewhere with this system. Am I communicating? It's not as if he wants to control. He already has control. With the privilege of the sin nature, he's a little manipulator. But that is not the easy thing. You see, when man came to the point of annihilation in chapter 6, that would have truncated everything that Satan had in mind. Again, let me back off. Like we said, chapter 1, verse 1, God, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Chapter 2, the earth was that form and void. We all know from archaeologists, from biblical historians, that something went wrong between 1 and 2. Praise God. And the Bible told us in somewhere in Isaiah, it said God did not create the earth to be without form. But it did not create to be void. Am I making sense? So something went wrong. Now, that creation, that they call it pre-Adamic creation, was wiped out by God and a new creation was started. That's when he started Adam and all the rest of that. And Satan again realized that what Jesus or what God said in the garden, when he made that statement, said the heel of the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise his heel, was a prophetic declaration about the end of Lucifer. Any intelligent person will have to find a way of aborting it, or you slow it down, or you truncate it. Make sure the thing does not come to pass anyhow. Praise God. Do you understand? Because we need to understand what's going on. So Satan taught men how to walk against God. That almost led to the annihilation of the human race. Now, God said somewhere very curious. He said, I will not open, I will not strive. My spirit will not strive with man, because he is also flesh. Do you know why he said that? Because if you leave man to himself, he will arrive at the point of destruction very, very, very fast. God needed to start putting a limit both on satanic activities and on man. And so you find out that man cannot just... You see, who is the baddest politician in Nigeria? Jagaba. Emiloko. First time he tried. Ojakule. Second time he tried. Olule. Until I, Jagaba, rose in Nigeria. And those are things. Is that a bad man? That's not a bad man. Hallelujah. Now, what am I trying to say is this. No matter how bad the man is, if you say you are going to hell, you are a wicked man, he will react. Because there is still something in his heart that has not been fully given to evil. He has not been fully given to evil. There is still some good to in him. That is why it is easy to still get him born again. As bad as you think Jagabana is, if he gets somebody who is anointed to preach the gospel, he will get born again. But who would they send? Nobody's around. We have all gone to our homes and we are all sleeping. And so everyone, eh? Danny? His wife? She needs salvation. Praise God. Praise God. Are you with me? Men's soul needs to be taught how to commit sin. They teach. These spirits are teaching spirits. Not only do they teach, they promote, they encourage, they stir up wickedness in men's heart. You know now, when you are faced with a choice and something is telling you, do it. That small voice says, don't do it. But that voice is very weak. Then your friends now arrive and say, can't you do it? Fame, I dare you. And then you are encouraged to do it. Then, you see, the thing is that you will start learning the ways of wickedness. Now, after you have done it and no repercussion comes, you are strengthened in your ways. Praise God. And then you keep on getting more wicked and more wicked. What you have seen is that there is a spirit that is teaching you. It's not just flesh. There is a teaching spirit. They teach men to be wicked. They teach men to go against God. They come up with all kinds of devices. And so you see, the thing multiplies in the earth. Somebody taught them. Someone just wakes up and says, I can sleep with dog. Do you understand? Is that normal? No, it's not normal. Something is pushing him in that direction. And he feels, yes, and he gets that prompt, and that begins to stir up in him. Something is tearing it up. Amen. And he does it, and God didn't strike him dead. And he said, look, Alishe, then you'd buy into it. And then the thing begins to go on. And there's a problem. Spirits are terrible. One spirit entered the mouth of 450 prophets in Israel. And they prophesied to Ahab. One spirit. And that same spirit after prophesying went to the whole Israel and convinced them that that prophecy was correct. One spirit. It did not 20. One. Praise God. And so when you come into warfare and you're seeing an operation going on, you should be able to know that this spirit you're operating. Then you understand why you need to learn to shut them down. So they stop their operation. It's a lying spirit. That's why you go for evangelism and somebody telling you, he's arguing, he's Jesus, the Son of God. Just bind that demon. It's a lying spirit. And you'll be surprised that after 2 or 3 minutes, the person's heart will be open to receive your message. Amen. I don't know whether I'm making sense to us. So in this instance, we found out that God said I will not strive. Because Satan has been teaching men how to work against God. And God said, for this reason, I will reduce your number of years to 120. And since then, it has been reducing. It has been reducing. To the point that they are now saying certain countries, their life expectancy is 20. Some is 30. Some is 40. You know. But Satan found out that that was not fast enough. So there are many ways by which you can destroy man. You can use war. Or you can use famine and all that. But we can't get there. Ezekiel 27 verses 2 to 6. 26 is quite long. Now, it now says, now, Ezekiel 27 verses 2 to 26. This is a story. I don't think I can read everything. It's quite long. Okay, let me just look at verse 2. Then I'll pick one or two verses and then move on. Say, now, thou son of man, take up a lamentation for Tyros, and say unto Tyros, O thou that art situated at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people of many isles, thus seest the Lord God. O Tyros, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Thy borders are in the midst of the seas. Thy builders have perfected thy beauty. They have made all the sheepboards of fair trees of Senia. They are all taken cedars from Lebanon to make masks for thee. Of the oaks of Bashan have they made thee oars, and the company of Ashurites have made thy breeches of ivory, brought out of the isles of Kittim. Fine linen with broidered work from Egypt was that which thou spreadest forth to be thy seal. Blue and purple from the isles of Elisha was that which covered thee. And the prophet kept talking. Then let's look at verse 25. The chiefs of Tarshish did sing of thee in thy market. Thou was replenished and made very glorious in the midst of the seas. Thy roars have brought thee to great waters. The east wind had broken thee in the midst of the seas. Amen. Hallelujah. When you read the story of Tyros, you see a nation state. Pastor, you're welcome. A nation state becoming very prosperous. And these are things we study in geography. How to situate your business. Tyros was situated in a very strategic place where commerce was possible. Amen. But the word of God declares that Tyros was going to be destroyed. And that was exactly what happened to them. But we saw that they made a lot of money. Now, that was one system that Satan built. And God kept destroying. As he was building it, God was destroying it. He was building, God was destroying it. But there was this one that I want to get to quickly. It's called Babylon. Babylon was a physical city, was a physical country. But it also has a spiritual type. We meet Babylon first and foremost in the book of Kings. You remember when Hezekiah was sick and the Bible told us that emissaries from Babylon came, they visited him. He now was stupid, very foolish man, showed him all the things that his father had accumulated, his forefathers had accumulated, and the prophet said, these people will come back again. And he said, well, if it's not going to be in my day, they're going to take your children as servants, as slaves. Take them to trade. Say, it's okay. May you not have a grandfather or a father like that. Or may you not be like that too. In Jesus' name. Maybe it's not in my days. It's school with me. And Later on, we hear that he did exactly just that. And so, that was the ascendancy of Babylon in the known ancient world. Praise God. Now, in Daniel chapter 2, now Daniel was a grandson of Hezekiah. He was a prince. Okay, you remember that prophecy that Isaiah gave. Daniel came to fulfill it. And they brought him all the way from Jerusalem down to Babylon. Amen. It was in the, Daniel was a young man in the days that Jeremiah was prophesying and was telling them, submit to this man, this young ruler from Babylon. They said, lightly we will never submit. Ah, we will fight. You should remember those transactions that were taking place. But he ended up in Babylon as an eunuch because they eventually castrated all of them. All of them were castrated. That's why the man did not have a wife. It was not because he would not have desired a wife, but they did not allow them to have a wife because they were all, especially the king's seed, where all of them were castrated. And so Daniel came before Jeremiah, before that, Jeremiah had spoken about this same king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, that all the nations should submit to him. Here you remember. But somehow, it escaped people's attention. Until that day, the man had a dream. Then you remember the story, all of them came and then Daniel had to start interpreting the dreams. And you remember the statue of gold. Breastplate of what? This silver, bronze? Silver. Then one was bronze. And then down. And it told us how the nations, the Gentile nations, will succeed one another. Amen. He said Babylon was pure gold. Now listen to me. It's from the edge down. It's essentially the same structure. The same beam, but different body parts. Are you with me? The head of gold is still the same body. Of course, when you look at the Medo-Persian Empire, they look as if they are different from the Babylonians. But no, essentially the same operation was running them. They were only getting, in quote, better in the outward, but internally they were getting weaker. The Medo-Persian Empire was not as glorious as the Babylonian Empire. But the Babylonians were the head of gold. That's the purest form of Gentile power. You will never get another power like that. No, you won't get. Babylon was that. But Babylon laid the foundation. Now, I'm inverting it now. In the dream, it was head going down. If I'm going to construct a building, Babylon will be the foundation. They now built on what Babylon had created. But essentially, it was the Babylon. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Praise God. Then came the Roman Empire. Powerful. They were, of course, I'm not going into eschatology and all that. But later on, when the Roman Empire broke off, we had a lot of crisis in the earth. There was no dominant world power. No one was dominant. Oh, there were empires. They were, all of them were all scattered. We had the Sun Guide Empire. We had the, I don't know. Was that an empire called Mali? At least there was one empire in that area. Praise God. In our own, I'm proud to say we had Oyo Empire. Praise God. Then we had Benin Empire. Then they had the Kanuri Empire. Then they had the... There was no empire in Sokoto. Don't mind them. They said we were born to... They were not born. They were thieves. They were slaves. They were thieves. That is, the Fulani is the original example of come to steal, kill. It's the same spirit. That's who they are. They have no land. They just come and... They will come and say, I want to work for you. Please, can I stay here? You will, and they will take advantage of your hospitality and overcome you. When you are at your weakest, they'll be watching you. They'll be studying you. How do you welcome somebody into your house who is studying to come and destroy you? That's a prayer point, oh. Praise God. That's what they are. So there were all these empires and none was dominant until there arose, of course, you had the Spanish Empire in Europe, you had the Portuguese Empire, you know, but they were not, there are still some people that were still punching them, you know, here and there and everywhere there. Then, but we know that the Spaniards were quite powerful. They had very powerful navy. They had a very powerful army, and by that they were subduing all the known countries in Europe. They were just sat there doing things. And they were under the control of the Roman Catholic Empire. The greatest empire that... We thought the Roman Empire actually died. It didn't die. It just morphed into something else. And without an army, they control the world. Praise God. So in other words, they're still in charge. Now that's why people assume that the 10 toes is revived Rome. But it's not so. It's not so. It's not revived Rome. Because if you think it's revived Rome, that means every activity that is going on in the end times will be concentrated in Europe. It is not so. Europe will never be a world power. No. Now, the real world power, according to scriptures, ended with Roman Empire. The 10 next most powerful will be those 10 tools. And they are not just Rome. Are you with me? Technically, there are 10 nations that will rise. It's spoken of in Revelation. Who will hand over their power to the beast? Amen. But underlying all this thing called military, see, the reason why nations have strong military is because by it you can acquire resources. You have gold, and my eyes entering your gold. I can't attack because I do have what it takes. So you know what I will do? I will build university. They are the people who will go and do the thinking that how can we enter this man's land and take his gold? That's why they created university. Not that they did it free of charge. No. If you get the bell brace, how can we take this thing, take it from everybody and become better? So the more you take, the more richer you become. That's the way the world works. You remember there was a particular city in Judges or so, where the Bible said that they were carefree. They had no security. They had nothing. Everybody was just living free. Then is it Dan? Lish. This guy, are you guys living in this current form? They just came and took over the whole country and settled down there and became okay. Praise God. So people build these things not only to defend themselves but to also be able to attack and acquire. I hope you're with me. Nobody is in this thing as a nice guy. No. It's not about being nice. Nobody's nice. That's why I want to ask you, if you become the president of Nigeria, are you going to be nice to Togo? Can't be nice to Togo. Because you don't send. Praise God. No. You have to be a benevolent dictator and a benevolent wicked man. Because that is what that thing demands that you must be. Praise God. You're not going to take any action at the detriment of your country so as to please Togo. It's called treason. This is what the nations of the earth fight for. So that's why I need a university. That's why I need a powerful army. Do you understand? That's why I need all those structures in place so that when I need resources, I can invade and take. You read the book, the stories in Daniel, all those nations where people had the ability to go and take. There was one they described as a lion, or is it there also, that was devouring, and it devoured much. These people, these are the spirits that devour. Praise God. So they set nations against nations. And that's how they work. So that we will self-destruct. But what am I trying to say? Is that after Rome, no major war power rules again until America rules. Amen. But America itself, they've been debating, is it in prophecy? No, America is not in prophecy. Because as far as the prophetic sight is concerned, it doesn't exist. What you are seeing is a lie. Praise God. It's not there. The one that is there is yet to appear. But these are nations that will prepare the foundation for these last ones to come. Amen. But like I said, these things, it looks as if they are getting stronger. Because to tell the truth, which nation is as strong as America? Since the day nations were formed. I was reading something today, propulsion technology. Where's Pastor Dele? Have you gotten there? Propulsion. That engine can drive a plane with Mach 5. If they create that plane, nobody can fight them again. The one that we are still battling with, Raptor, is going 2-point-something Mach. Speed of sound. It would have killed you before you hear it come. So we just enter the spirit realm. Then the Sunday of it will be passing. Then we ask yourself, what really happened? Then those of you that are there, that means like we have died. Really? Have we really died? The guy has gone. That fighter, they say that 50 kilometers away, he has not seen you, but he has blocked on you. He has released missile. He has gone to look for another target. How do you fight him? And you are saying, we are giant of Africa. They just sit and they are drinking and they don't mind this stupid. They don't know what we can do. But you see, the truth is that if we invite that sin, they are actually the weakest. Because when the stone hit them, the thing broke. That means they were hollow. They had no substance. It's just outward appearance, but inside nothing is solid there. So the stone hit it, it broke, the thing grounded powder, and the wind blew it away. Amen. So the problem is, if you keep looking at that image, you will likely be intimidated. But except you look at it from the position of the spirit, that's where you know that it's hollow. There's nothing inside it. Can we discuss something else? Amen. Now, 1944, I don't know how Americans, I don't know. The war was not over. The war ended in 1945. I'm getting to the interesting part. In 1944, Americans summoned all the nations of the world to Brentwood. You know the American... I'm sure. I don't know this American. Summoned all of them. And there created a new world order. And that world order is what you call, they were the one that gave back to IMF. The system we are running today, they sat down and designed it. It was not natural. Now, either to our economy and the way we were doing things is that we were trading natural resources, the food, the cow, the gold, the things that we can get. Sure, you understand. America came and said, no, we are creating what we call currency. They created it. It has never been so. Amen. Paper. And they said, this is $1,000. Amen. You have no... God help you. You say it is not so. And they gave value to it. And commanded men everywhere to bow. Praise God. Now they were the dominant world power. They had the nuclear bomb. Will you say Yoga? Bros, you have to be careful. Russia and others played along until Russia detonated its own nuclear bomb. That's when Russia now began to flex. But they had already set a system in place that the US dollar became the reserve currency by which all the nations of the earth, they commanded it by fiat, by authority, by power, by mind, by anything, that God help you. So all of you were tied to the US dollar. By it, all of us would trade. Praise God. And that US dollar was tied to gold. So 33 US dollar, it was equivalent to 1 ounce of gold. So they had to keep the equivalent of all the US dollar paper that they printed. They had to keep it in the vault. So instead of you, I want to buy garri from you, I have to carry gold and take it to Indonesia and buy from you. If you want to buy cassava from him, you carry your own gold. They said, no, we don't do that again. That was how they used to do. Pirates of the Caribbean, you guys remember, they were carrying gold, all those things to go and trade. They don't need all that nonsense. This is a new way. And it was convenient. That created a system of convenience. Amen. So embedded in that system were certain things that you and I must be very careful about. What can you do? 1971 came. America was fighting a war in Vietnam. And they were printing more money, paper money, than they had enough gold reserve to back up. The idea is that when France comes and says, I want my gold, take dollar, give me gold back. There was no enough gold in the hand of America to give back to everybody that said they want. That would have caused the system to crash. Now, just everyone, Nixon said, is decoupling the US dollar from gold. So it was supposed to be a temporary action. But since that 71, they have not changed it. So that was when dollar became free floating. Like I said, today, Naira is 500 Naira to $1. Then they say dollar now crashed. It now becomes 400 Naira to $1. Because within that crash, Naira becomes more stronger. Okay, you understand? And dollar becomes weaker. But when dollar becomes weaker, you now hear that Naira is now 600 to $1. They made it floating. And so they created another system entirely. Praise God. I hope you are following me. This one is not in James. Praise God. Do you understand? Yeah. And so we now found out, or they now began to do this. They continued that way, and America began to keep on printing money. They kept printing money, and there was no gold there. Now, this was what they now decreed, that the central bank has authority to print money without any gold or something. Now, they don't need to. And this is how it works. It's wickedness. They were creating wealth out of nothing. They just pluck it from the air. So the central bank would just say, okay, Zenith Bank, how much do you need? Give it 200 million. 200 million. Someone just go to the computer, type 200 million and transfer it to your account and credit it. You have 200 million. It came from nowhere. You understand? It came from nowhere. Nothing created. They just arbitrarily created it. Now, they now had this system in place that 10% of whatever all of us come and deposit in your bank, the bank must keep it. Are you with me? Then they have to take 90% of that amount and lend it. But you see, this was now the scam. The present banking system is a Ponzi scheme. It's going to crash. Can't survive. It's going to crash. Not sustainable. They've been propping it up. It's been failing. 2008 failure. They propped it up. By central bank now created money to pump and pump and pump and pump and pump it. You know. Then there are many terminologies let me look for those things. when I read it, I know that these guys will go to hellfire. There's nothing God can do about it. Amen. I heard it, I said, debt, they made debt money. Now, you brought 100 naira. I kept 10 naira. I now have 90 naira. Yeah, but 90 in the morning. Now, when I want to lend, I'm supposed to lend out 90 naira, Abi. I'm not lending out 90 naira. I'm going to lend 1 million naira from that, your 100 naira you brought. By just typing in, how much do you say you want? I type it in. How much do you want? I type it in. How much do you want? I type it in. And I've created money. You were not creating anything. That's why the banks are going to, are always declaring billions. Then you ask, who did you borrow money? Didn't borrow anybody money. Tanika, you are going to help me here. Amen. The banking system is the greatest scam of this system. So I borrow you 1,000 naira that I never had, that I created from thin air. I now demand that you will pay interest on that 1,000 naira. So you go and work your ass off to pay me my 30% interest. Is that not more wicked than Israel being a slave? You understand? And that has actually been declaring billions. They just declare billions. Then they created all... Ah, how can I go? There's so much here. It gets cut so bad that they were betting. Banks were betting on weather. Whether the weather will be green or good. Because they had so much to play around with. Money they never worked for. Money they never did anything about. Money they just created out of thin air. They just were just playing with it. So when there was now a demand, pay me my money. You all of you now arrive in the bank one day, Zenith Bank. I want... Have you gone to ATM before and said there's no money in ATM? Control fine here. Because there was no money. So they have to wait for some people to that they've given, they let that money to bring it back. Then they can now give you. Then they wait for another mugu to come again. Doesn't make sense saving money in you. Doesn't make sense. Praise God. There's so much here that I wrote down. Maybe I will really sit down and talk about it next week. I have spare time. But let me say this. If we continue like this, we will never create wealth. Someone told me about, I learned about Elon Musk. I was telling you at the beginning that if you understand how the system works, you'll be rich. Elon Musk. See, they didn't have oil. Those people don't have oil like we have oil. Like we're playing around with oil. They rely on taxation. That has been all, that's how nations of the world, all the governments of the world, of course that's another story, how governments grew up. But you need taxation to run a government, Abi. So this is how Elon Musk did it. He made money from his Tesla thing. He doesn't collect income, otherwise they will tax him. Are you with me? So he told them, convert my money to stock. So if his stock was 100 and there was a profit that's of about 5 that should be his own, he'll convert it to stock in that company. So the stock of the company will now be 105. Belongs to Elon Musk. That's how Elon Musk became a billionaire or a trillionaire. Praise God. Now he has that money, he won't touch it. He will now approach Asogis Bank. But I have 3 trillion in the account. Can you borrow me 3 trillion? Yeah, to get the weekend yesterday. Now, you cannot tax loan. Say you get, you can't tax loan. Meanwhile, he has hedged that loan based on his stocks. Now, in case I default, take my stocks. He will now take that loan and he cannot buy a car. I am working because for me to go and do business in Lagos, I must buy a car now. It's part of it. They won't tax you. You see how life is enjoying itself. But the woman said, we'll even give you a car with the law. And so when he has used it, he will now pay them back. And next day he will come back and say, can you borrow me again? And that just was running his life. And it's okay. And he's still the richest man in the world. It is you that when they give you money, you go and marry a wife. That's why you can't ever be rich. You go and borrow money, the first thing you will buy is an iPhone. That's why you will never be rich. You will always remain poor. Because, listen to me, somebody said that during this COVID, they gave them a lot of money in America. You know what? 80% of that money found their way to luxurious goods. Instead of people investing it, they were buying Gucci. Is it Gucci? They were buying state-of-the-art shirts and all those fancy things. Those are called liabilities. They are not assets. Why do you want a car? I didn't know. Nobody taught me this. So I was buying a car. I said, this is the last car I am buying. If you like, get be angry. I said, Pastor, you are disgracing us. If you are angry, buy me another one. It's a liability if this car is not generating income. That is why many of us are poor. The first thing that comes to your mind is, how do I enjoy myself? It can't work like that. We can't continue like that. Because this system is designed for you to be a consumer. Calls come, can I just come out? There's no call, there's a phone call, Canon. Is it Canon? And you say, you are still there. There's another one called Lenovo. God, hey. That's why we always remain poor. Is it not this man, not this richest man? I think it was this man in Owo, Magbo Egun. When he died, there were about 15 cars in his compound, clear rubber. He never drove them. He didn't touch it. They just put it there and he just walked away. You will always see him in small jalopy. He want to start business. Don't buy a 5 million naira car. Look for a jalopy that will carry you from here to Lagos. That will not break down, but will not cost you more than 100,000. Is it not to get to Lagos? Must you fly through the air? Must you buy a jet? You don't need it. Just get to Lagos. But the only problem is that between Sagamu and Lagos, you may be there for 10 hours. But you find a way around it. Praise God. What am I trying to say is that the way the system is designed, is designed by fallen spirits that will keep many in perpetual poverty. They are the one that will work and sustain the rich. That's why that's the way it's designed. And except you find a way of stepping out of that system and operating a separate system, you are never going to make it in that system. Except you're going to sell your soul. There's a spiritual dimension to this. And I think I need to say it, and then I guess I'll close. There's so much. I'll continue next week. Amen. The spiritual dimension, there's a spirit called Mammon. You've heard about it. Matthew 6, I think 34. Look at Matthew 6, 34, if I'm not mistaken. Matthew 6. Is it 34 or 38? One of that. Where Jesus Christ said it clearly. So you can't serve. It's 24. 24, sorry, Matthew 6:24. Said, no man can serve two masters. This is the only place in recorded prophetic words, prophetic books, as it were, that made a comparison between God and the fallen angel. The most powerful angel that compares to God in terms of worship is Mammon. Not Lucifer. No, not Satan. Not any of those fallen spirits. It's Mammon. You saw that spirit manifest in the wilderness when they bowed down to the golden calf. You saw that spirit show up in Israel when God began to bring up his complaints and his accusations. Say you worship the works of your hands. It's Mammon. You saw him move men to covetousness. No, Paul said that covetousness is also idolatry. The same thing. I think covetousness in Yoruba is Jokokuro. I call it ant eyes. There's ants in your eyes. John called it in a different name. He called it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. It's still the same spirit driving his operations. It's a spirit. And it was interesting that this afternoon, as I was going through the scriptures, I just typed Mammon, the god of Mammon. And a particular page popped up, and I went to check it. And that page showed how to contact Mammon. The spells, the incantations and all that. Oyibo wrote it, not black man. I said, eh. I was like, sir? He's a being. He exists. I heard of a story of a man who used to play, was a musician, was a low level, nobody knew him kind. He said he got to a point in his life, he became frustrated and stood at the junction where roads meet and stood and entered the covenant with the devil and gave the devil his soul and said, it will make me great. And the man left that spot, went to the where he was and picked the guitar and strung it and the whole world, wow! And he shined for a few years and died. But he sold his soul. It comes at a price. If you want to be rich, that's of those who love to be rich in this world, fall into what? Divers. All kinds of, the same wickedness that we saw in Genesis will begin to repeat in his life. Because you want to make it in this system, no, it comes with a price. Those priests will ask you, what are you giving? What are you bringing to the table? It's more than buying and selling. I have an idea. Pastor, I have an idea. What is your idea? I have iPhones. You will die without your iPhone. In fact, nobody will come around and say, what did make it your iPhone? Then you will see somebody. He has not displayed anything. His iPhone is inside his room. People will be knocking. They say, you have iPhone. Say, who told you? I just know. Say, you have, but you don't have. This iPhone is 1 million. Bring it. And you are. What happened? That's why you find people going to covenants with spirits. It's called, it's a type of aworo. I was listening to an interview one Babalawo gave to a girl many years ago. He said he had told all his colleagues who were Babalawo to stop doing juju for these young children. Ogunwo. He said it's called hot money. Hot. It never ends well. I have a story of one. He and his friends went to meet that Babalawo. And he was doing it for his friend. When he got to him, he tried, he said, stop. Something was stopping him. So he said, you stand aside. Let me finish with your friends. When he finished, he called him back. He said, where's your mother? He said, the mother has died. He said, every time I wanted to do this thing, your mom kept propping up and begging me not to do it for you. He said, you will be rich in life, but don't go through this means. He said, look at my children. They're walking in the backyard. You think me too don't want to ride jeep? You think me to want to write it? No, no. This thing has consequences. But when you talk to them, one of the professors in my school spoke one or two of the students. They said, Prof, was a doctor. They said, Doc, if I enjoy my life, it's only for 5 years, I'm okay. And I go to hell, it doesn't matter. Ah, if you've been to hell before, you won't want to dare it. So there are means by which men get these things, and they prosper in this system. You and I can't go that route, because in doing so, we will destroy our souls. The Igbo that you and I see that are wearing suits, many of them are occultic. They are not ordinary people. You just see them in suits. Many of our bankers are in the cult. You can't handle money at that level and you don't enter it. It's not possible. I don't know whether it's naked nose. If you are in the counter, you'll be shocked that money will be missing. Your account may not balance. People, all kinds of creatures come and meet you. You will count 100,000. By the time they do the calculation, you have released 150,000. I'll explain it. Money is not paper. There is a spirit that is backing it. So you either align with that spirit or you look for an alternative route to acquire it. Am I communicating to us? Money is not just monera, kobo. Every time you pick a note from your hand and there's a transaction, a part of your life is going. Amen. My time is gone. I'll continue next week. This system we are running, that we are all looking at, is not black and white. But I know one thing. Don't forget the parable of the kingdom. He said a man went to collect for himself a kingdom and left the servants to do what? To trade.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.